This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. If you were flirting with the idea of running for Congress or for governor of Texas, well, yesterday was the deadline to notify the Secretary of State's office. So if you didn't get your paperwork in, you have missed out. But lots of other people did get that deadline done. And today we're going to sort out who's running for what. Scott Braddock is with us. He's the editor of the Quorum Report and host of the Quorum Report radio program, a podcast that covers Texas politics. And Scott, welcome back to The Source.
Always good to talk to you, David.
You know, we have this deadline all the time, but it seemed like yesterday's was a little more chaotic than normal. Is that just me?
Not just you. I've been doing this coming up on a quarter century here covering politics, and the vast majority of that, of course, here in Texas. And yesterday was the wildest filing deadline that I can remember. And I was talking to other veteran journalists and other veterans of the process who said the same. We haven't seen someone who's been running for months for U.S. Senate suddenly drop out and run for something else. We haven't had the kind of last-minute maneuvering that we've had over the last 24 hours. Haven't had that in years. There are always some surprises on filing deadline, and I always tell folks that when you're talking about running for office, the filing period, which lasts for about a month, and then that last day of candidate filing, that's where the rubber really meets the road. And especially for first-time candidates, it's going to completely upend their whole life to run for office. It is a life-changing thing. And putting your name on the ballot is the first big milestone in making that kind of a change. And, of course, a lot of the people we're talking about have run for things before, and they couldn't make up their minds about what they were going to do until the very last minute. A lot of the last-minute maneuvering was happening where I am here in Dallas-Fort Worth today, of course, with Jasmine Crockett getting in the Senate race, a longtime congressman from DFW moving over to the Tarrant County Judges race, Colin Allred getting out of the Senate race and running for Congress instead. It was just sort of a whirlwind of events.
Yeah, it was musical chairs and a mosh pit combined.
That's right.
Our number is open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. What are you looking for? What surprised you? Who are you going to be rooting for or against in this upcoming primary battle going towards the November 3rd, 2026 general election? Of course, so you mentioned Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett of Dallas. She has jumped in officially yesterday afternoon, running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. Why was that such a big game changer?
Huge deal, because for months now, the polling has shown, before she had announced the public polling, and she says her private polling shows much the same thing, that basically she is going to dominate the field. And yesterday, some of the evidence of that became clear as former Congressman Allred, who has run for Senate before, just got out of the race and instead is running for Congress. You know that he's been going around the state campaigning for Senate for months, as has James Tallarico, a state representative from the Austin area. But the polling has shown that if you include Crockett and former Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who, of course, is a Democratic star around here, if you include those folks, they would be at the top of the list, around 35 to 40% each. If you've got something like five candidates, including Allred and Tallarico and those guys who had been in the race, were lagging behind those others who were not in the race just yet. And you have a completely different field now. And so I do think that it's going to be a spirited primary. It may get very, very nasty, which, of course, is not the kind of race that Representative Tallarico wanted to be in. He was trying to keep the message positive last night after Crockett gave a speech that I attended in Dallas, where she talked about her case, for running for the Senate, being that she can take the fight directly to President Trump, that Tallarico, his reaction was to welcome her to the race and say that his campaign isn't about being against anybody, and instead is about building a positive movement, something that all Democrats can get on board with. That's the way he'd like to frame it up.
You mentioned Beto O'Rourke. Unless I missed something, he didn't file for anything, did he?
That's correct. And I didn't have the sense, and I know there was some chatter about this, and people were talking about whether he might jump into the Senate race or run for governor or something. Of course, both offices that he's run for previously unsuccessfully, although, of course, he made what I would say is history in 2018 when he did come just a hair's breadth away from winning a statewide office for Democrats for the first time in a generation and had coattails, helped sweep a lot of Democrats into office that year, which is something that could happen again this year if we see a wave election in this coming year in 2026. But he took a pass on it, and I never really got the sense that he was interested. In all of his public commentary and in listening to some of the people who are around O'Rourke, some of the O'Rourke orbit, if you will, I never got the sense that he wanted to do anything as far as running for office. What he wants to do instead is focus on organizing Democrats and trying to get folks out there through his group, Powered by People organization, to continue to try to build Democratic infrastructure in the state, but not to be on the ballot once again. There was at one point, you might remember this, there was some talk that maybe he would run for the chairmanship of the Texas Democratic Party, and I don't know that you could pay the guy enough to do that. it's an organization that, they need a lot of work over there. And so they do have a new chairman, Kendall Scudder, from here in Dallas, who's trying to work on some of those issues.
Well, back to State Representative Jasmine Crockett for a moment.
Congresswoman. Yes, sir.
She is considered a front runner, I guess, based on that polling.
Absolutely.
However, she is not seen as someone who would do very well in a general election. She would do good in the Democratic primary, but not good in the general election. Is that the general sense?
It seems to be a box that both Republicans and Democrats are in right now, and here's what I mean by that. You're right. The polling shows, a lot of strength of her in the primary and weakness in the general election. Now, she says she has polling that would refute that, but she hasn't released it publicly. Maybe she will at some point. We'll see. But you saw her announcement advertisement yesterday, David, where it was just her pick, and people can look this up easily on YouTube or on my Twitter feed at Scott Braddock. She posted a video as her first commercial running for Senate, her launch video. It's just her face. She's not saying anything. She's just sitting there while you hear the voice of President Trump calling her names, saying that she's a low IQ person, she's a disaster, and saying that she's sort of the leader of the Democrats, just bad-mouthing her for about a minute. And there's a reason for that. I had a lot of questions from people asking, well, why is it that she's only highlighting negative things that Trump has said about her? And what I'm about to tell you has been true for at least the last 2 years. All of the polling that I've seen, either private polling or public polling, when it comes to what issue is most important to Democratic voters in Texas and across America, it's not a lot of the things that you might guess. It's not climate change. It's not health care. It's not LGBTQ rights. It's not gun control, abortion rights, etc. The number one issue for Democrats is this: fighting Republican extremism as embodied by President Trump and MAGA. And what that ad speaks to is that Jasmine Crockett is seen by a lot of Democrats, and the polling bears this out, she is seen as the fighter, the person who will take the fight to President Trump. And she's seen in that way, in a way that James Tallarico isn't, and in a way that Colin Allred wasn't. And that's really what contributes to such high poll numbers for her even before she got into the race.
This thing about her being low IQ, she is a law school graduate. She is an attorney, and she is a very dynamic speaker. And I've seen her hold her own in on the House floor and in hearings and things. There is nothing about her that is low IQ. And in order to throw that slur at her is a bigoted statement. So we just can't, politics is politics, but come on, this is not. We don't have to wallow in the muck.
Well, this is what President Trump does. He insults his opponents and, by the way, insults Democrats as low IQ, whether they're white, black, brown, whatever. I do know what you mean by that, though. But the bottom line is that he's down in the muck. And one of the things that a big point to be made here is one of the things that Democrats want to see is someone who will go toe-to-toe with the guy who is down in the muck. And that's a big thing that she's making her campaign about. In her announcement speech last night, she did talk about the fact that President Trump always has, as she put it, she said, quote, there's a reason that my name is always in his mouth, because I'm under his skin, and that I'm taking the fight right to him. And she says she wants to continue to do that, that she's been doing that in the U.S. House, and now wants to do it in the Senate.
So former Congressman Colin Allred, he mm-hmm. dropped out of the race for Senate. Now he's going to run for a congressional seat. But while he was dropping out, it seemed to be throwing some shade at James Taylor Rico, trying to urge him to drop out of the race as well so the Democrats could unite behind Crockett. And that seemed odd.
Well, it's not going to happen. The Taylor Rico's campaign seems to be ready to keep marching forward. As I said, he put out a video right after the announcement from Crockett in which he said, look, I'm not against her, but I'm still in this race, and I want to build a movement that all Democrats can get on board with. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty close. He said that his campaign's not about any negativity, and he's not going to let it turn into that. At least that's the message from him for right now. But look, with Allred's plea, I think what he and some other Democrats would like to see is a unified Democratic Party, and that's just not going to happen right now. They're going to have a real campaign and a real primary. And I do think, and I might be, I might be an outlier on this. I think for Democrats in Texas, they need to have a spirited primary, because the Democratic Party around here and the Democratic Party nationally is still struggling with exactly what it is, an identity crisis, if you will. And these kind of fights help put those things into some real world terms.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. Debbie, I'm going to get you on the air with your question as soon as we come back from the break. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Do you think this is going to be a good year? 2026 will be a breakout year for Democrats in Texas. That's what some are hoping for. But we've got 30 years of experience that says we don't know. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
As you take time to support organizations that make a difference in your life and in our community, consider making a one-time gift to Texas Public Radio or becoming a sustaining supporter. No matter how you give, you help ensure that trustworthy news remains accessible to all. Listener support makes TPR possible. Together, we can keep this service strong. Give now at tpr.org, and thanks.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're looking at what the primary races have shaped up to be. Yesterday was the filing deadline. We're speaking with Scott Braddock, editor of The Quorum Report and host of The Quorum Report Radio, a podcast that covers Texas politics. You can find wherever they have cool podcasts. Let's go to Debbie on the phones, 833-877-8255 for you to join us. And Debbie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I've been a Texas Democrat from the get-go, and I always have been very supportive. And I was getting a little anxious this year because there are so many, I feel, good Democratic candidates out there, and then some of them are opposing each other in the primaries, and my heart sinks because I feel like, oh, please don't let this be a waste of really good Democratic talent, people who really care. So I'm curious, does the Texas Democratic party leaders, do they not get involved with this in any way so that maybe we can spread the talent, I guess is what I'm saying. That's just my question.
Well, Debbie, thank you for that. I think Texas Democratic leaders is an oxymoron. Scott Braddock, is there anybody, a ringmaster for the circus?
Well, I mean, I know what she means by that. Let me say a couple of things about it, and I appreciate Debbie's comments. Number one, I know that Democrats in general have a real issue with Democrats fighting with each other. They'd rather they play nice with a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them would rather be like Debbie and say, hey, you know, why be fighting with each other when we ought to be fighting Republicans? On that point, I would say this. You and I both know, David, that Republicans in their primaries in Texas for the last 25 years, they rip each other apart before the vote in March. And then guess what they do? They unite and they go on and win in November. Every single election for most of the time that I've ever done this. So it can be a good thing to have a fight in the primary to really, you know the old saying, iron sharpens iron. A lot of these candidates come out as better candidates because they have gone through a tough primary and have had to figure out how to run those kind of campaigns, because guess what? Republicans are not going to take it easy on them heading into the November election. As far as whether there's any kind of a ringmaster, there's really not. And I know that a lot of Democrats in this state sort of look to what's known as the TDP, the Texas Democratic Party, the entity itself, to be the ones that would maybe do some of this as far as, kind of as Debbie said, spreading out the talent or having people run for different offices. A couple of realities about that. Number one, for state-level offices like governor, lieutenant governor, comptroller, railroad commissioner, et cetera, there's really no money in those races for Democratic candidates. There's a little. They'll be able to find some donors. The only race, and this is a real thing, the only race that has real resources in it for a Democrat at the statewide level right now in Texas is the race for U.S. Senate. And then, and that's because they can get national money. It has a higher profile and all of that. And that's why you saw Tallarico, Crockett, Allred at one point, Beto O'Rourke, and also Joaquin Castro, all of those names that were in the mix for U.S. Senate, because that's the one they were really interested in, because you can't really get money and resources for any of these other races. That's, again, that's just the reality right now. I would say this, too, as far as trying to have someone figure it out before the voters figure it out, has not gone well for Democrats just in the last 24 months. Think about the fact that it was party bosses, the ringmasters, if you will, nationally, who decided that President Biden would try to stick it out and they wouldn't have a real primary. And what did they end up doing? The party bosses put Vice President Harris in as the nominee instead of having a primary and instead of having the Democratic voters decide who their nominee ought to be. And we saw how that played out. That didn't go very well. It turned into a disaster for Democrats here in Texas and all around the country. And so I would say that if Democrats would and should learn anything from what has happened in national and state politics over the last 18 to 24 months, it is this, that they should let Democratic voters decide who the best nominee ought to be to go up against the Republicans in November.
So U.S. Senator John Cornyn is facing what could be the toughest election fight of his political career.
Yes, sir.
He is going up against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and U.S. Congressperson Wesley Hunt in that Republican primary. Paxton is up out ahead, and he's leading these polls. And he's still, though, dogged by all these controversies and scandals, his divorce against State Senator Angela Paxton and all these other things that have gone around him, his financial issues. So how is that shaping up?
You know, it is the toughest fight that Cornyn has been in for a long time. For perspective, if you go back and look at some of his previous reelection efforts, Cornyn would often, as the incumbent Republican senator, he would get 5, 6, if not 7 or 8 challengers in the Republican primary. And David, in years past, Cornyn didn't really even have to campaign that hard to smoke all those other challengers. He would get 60 to 65% against 6 or 7 people in a Republican primary. That's not the case anymore. He's not politically bulletproof the way he was, you know, 15 or 20 years ago. And he's been in office a long time, right? By the way, Jasmine Crockett in her announcement speech this week was saying that she was a very little girl when Cornyn was first elected to elected office in the state many years ago. And so here you have Cornyn really in the fight of his life. He is up against Paxton. This is a guy who is scandal ridden, as you said, but it really hasn't caused him any problems with Republican primary voters. In fact, the more scandals and the more accusations get thrown at Paxton, and this might seem just crazy to a lot of folks, it might maybe crazy to your listeners, but the more accusations get thrown at him, the more Republican primary voters actually like him.
He becomes more Trump-like.
That's exactly right. And I would tell you that the impeachment effort against Paxton a couple of years ago, even some of the people who helped to orchestrate that would now privately admit that one of the main things they accomplished with that is making Paxton even more popular with GOP primary voters. Now, I can tell you from my reporting across the state and talking to Republican voters all over the place, that there's one theme that emerges among many. This theme is this: that they think everyone in government is corrupt. They think everyone in government has a mistress. They think everyone in government is on the take. And if you start with that as your, and of course that's not true, but if you start with that as your baseline, then what do you judge candidates on? You judge them instead on issues, and are they going to fight for me? And it's sort of the inverse of what we were talking about with Democrats, who want somewhat, Democrats want somebody to fight Trump. Republicans want somebody to stand with Trump. So think about Paxton, who he is as a political figure. He was there. He was giving one of the speeches on January 6th when they stormed the Capitol, right? He was with Trump. He was the only attorney general in the country who would file a lawsuit to overturn the election when he lost, when Trump lost to President Biden. He has stood with Trump, and the MAGA voter base loves that, and that's one reason that Cornyn is in big trouble. Now, I would say the case for Cornyn with the MAGA folks is this. Cornyn votes with Trump all the time, 99%. He has that voting record. And here's the thing. I'm not sure if President Trump's going to get involved in this. I do think that if he would endorse Cornyn or Paxton, that this race might be over the next day. Who knows? But Trump likes them both. He likes Paxton for the reasons that I outlined, including that lawsuit to overturn the election. But he also likes Cornyn because not only has Cornyn been a good vote for Trump in the Senate, but you remember in his previous position as the Republican whip, that's where he would go and really round up the other senators to vote for Trump's agenda. And Trump knows that Cornyn was a good soldier for him doing that. And so I think that if Trump was really up, you know, put on the spot about this race, he would have a hard time, figuring out who to go with.
Yeah, and Cornyn voted for those nominees, no matter how 100%. Bad they were.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So Representative Wesley Hunt from Houston, he follows along that Ken Paxton way of thinking. He's not as not scandalized as much as Paxton, but still, right. Doesn't that split the vote against people who are anti-Cornyn?
He's a real X factor in this race. It's a good question. I'm trying to figure out, number one, who's the real money behind Wes Hunt? We still don't really know that fully just yet, who's really supporting this. It was a lot of the establishment Republicans in Houston who helped to get Hunt elected to the U.S. House in the first place. You might remember he ran for Congress and was unsuccessful originally against Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher there in H-Town. And then in the next redistricting in 2021, they basically drew a district for Wes Hunt in Harris County at the behest of some of those establishment Republicans in the Houston area who really liked this guy. They thought he was, somebody who was an upstart, and they were fans of this guy, Wes Hunt. And so for those people who pushed so hard, those Republican contributors and others who pushed hard for him to get into Congress, I think they're a little flummoxed right now, David, as to why he's running for the U.S. Senate against someone who is one of their guys, John Cornyn, but he really is a complicating factor here. And whether it splits the anti-Cornyn vote, I'm not completely sure. I've been looking at some of the polling. I think the numbers aren't completely clear on that just yet. But I do think that it's a complicating factor for Cornyn simply because with three candidates in the race, if Cornyn can't get over 50% in the first round of voting in March, then he's going to a runoff. And in Texas, politically, that means you're a dead man walking. If you're an incumbent, head into a runoff. Legislatively, the fact is that those incumbents in runoffs have about a 6% political survival rate. They don't get reelected.
I'm going to go to Jake really quick on the phones. Jake, we're short on time, but you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Listening from Alabama, thanks for taking my call. The question I have for Scott is this. Does he believe, and do Democratic leaders in Texas believe, that having competitive primaries will lead to a surge of voters and help them get contact information and maybe help them in the fall?
All right, Jake, good question. Appreciate that. So, Scott, these competitive primaries raise their profile, raise some money, good things?
That is an excellent question, and I would think that Democratic leaders should take note of the question and maybe do what Jake just said, Jake from Alabama just said. What I remember historically was in 2008, the last time there was a giant surge in Democrats voting in a primary. That was, you remember, David, that was when then Senator Obama was facing off with Secretary Clinton.
Yeah.
We had 3 million people vote in the Democratic primary in this state. The huge voter list that they would have generated out of that, I don't know if they just threw it in the trash or what after that, because I never saw any evidence that they ever used it.
Scott Braddock, he's the editor of the Quorum Report. He hosts Quorum Report Radio, a politics that tracks Texas politics. You can find it wherever they make good, cool podcasts. Scott, thanks for coming on the air today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.